Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke, and we are happy that you are joining us this week. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe it's your 101st time. But regardless, we're happy that you're tuning in and you are wanting to learn more and go deeper on the word that was shared in our church on Sunday. And today I am joined by Lori St. Ilmi.
Hello. Welcome. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me. This was an awesome message. It was kind of a lot.
It was a lot.
I'm super excited to kind of break it down. Make it a little easier to understand not just the idea of some of it, but how to actually practically, how does this apply to us here today?
Absolutely. Because that is the heart of God, is that we would take in what he delivers to us through the person who speaks on Sunday.
Yep.
That we would take it into our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to show us where we need to apply it, how we are to be living with more wisdom.
Absolutely.
Or, how we interact with people and live out the Great Commission and seeing the kingdom come.
For sure.
Before we get to all of that, why don't you just share for anyone who's listening, what is it that you do here at the church?
All right. So my job title is creative director, which is just a fancy way of saying that the visuals of the church, the graphics, social media, even some of the actual physical look of the church is kind of all stuff that I'm involved in, having a say in, making decisions on. Primarily, the day-to-day is the social media, the graphics, the signs, the cards, all that sort of stuff. It's really my husband, Pastor Will, loves to say that it's the culture communicator.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Trying to communicate, what are we doing here visually, words, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And I think that's really cool, especially in a day where there's so much said about social media and information.
Yes.
And everyone's trying to go for the likes and all this stuff. Like, there could even be an argument of why are we even adding to this noise?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. But I think so much of my heart is to allow the Lord to redeem some of this thing that the enemy has gotten so much glory from.
Yep.
And how can we reach the people who are already there on social media? How can we use this as a tool and not as a vice,
absolutely,
but as a tool to communicate the gospel, to stay connected to the body of Christ in a way that glorifies him and doesn't dishonor him or ourselves or any of that?
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for what you do. Very appreciative of that. So now moving into Sunday's message. So it was, Pastor Zach was talking about defeating Leviathan, and we had a powerful, powerful worship service that went
so
overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I was starting to wonder if we were even going to have a message at all. But he did bring this message that he said that the Lord put on his heart, and he wrestled with it himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of apparent even in the way it played out, is it's not one that's exactly you can't organize it completely. So it's kind of, I know for me personally, I had to listen to it as a whole.
Yeah.
I had to go back and listen to it and then really take in, so what is the message being said here?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about, defeating Leviathan. And where I felt led to start today is just to share from Revelation 12, 9 through 10. So Leviathan, that particular word, that creature and the spiritual forces behind it, that comes up a lot in the Old Testament.
Yep.
And then in Revelation 12, 9 through 10, John, the revelator, he has this vision and he sees this, and he says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night.'" And I just think it's very important that we start from this place because the accuser has been thrown down. Jesus has defeated Satan. At the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished. The work has been done." Satan is defeated. And that is true in eternity, and it's true for us now as New Testament believers.
Yes.
But we still live in a broken world where Satan is still at work, and he is causing division and he's accusing.
Yep.
So it is on us now to ask the Holy Spirit, those of us who have received the truth of God and the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit lives in us, all right, how do we live wisely mm-hmm. and engage with this world and be sensitive to what the enemy is doing, and, mm-hmm. but combating it not from a place of glorification or mystifying it, but yes. in a place of, all right, Lord, you have defeated Satan. So mm-hmm. what is my role in not contributing to this battle and going after it and reclaiming the ground that you have taken?
Absolutely. I feel like, especially with a message like this, that is very like Old Testament prophecy. We hear like the spirit of Leviathan. Mm-hmm. It sounds very intense. I could see how someone who is kind of just
yeah.
trying to understand all this, how there can be fear or like a little bit of this, like, oh, like
what is
this? There's a sea beast that's mm-hmm. out to cause division in the church and all this stuff. So I think before anything, as we're reading the word, we have to put everything through the lens of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We have victory. We, like, the enemy has been defeated. We get to walk in that victory. And yes, there's discernment and there's sensitivity and there's reflection on ourselves mm-hmm. and how are we, like, you know, cooperating with things? How are we, like, where do we need to continue to stay committed to the truth of the word?
Amen.
And to everything that Jesus has called us to, without letting fear or shame or defeat kind of cloud our walk and the way that we interact with people. So I love that. I think that's great to just, hey, before we like dive into some of this like deeper stuff,
right.
Like the truth is we have victory through mm-hmm. the blood of Jesus. We get to walk in that. Leviathan is defeated.
Yes.
In the yeah. end, like we already know the end of the story. Mm-hmm. And so now we get to say, okay, how does that apply to us today? How do we walk right. out in victory, mm-hmm. continuing to defeat these enemies,
Amen.
All this stuff.
Yeah. yeah. And you know, like when you read through a lot of the New Testament letters,
mm-hmm.
you see this pattern in these letters, especially Paul's letters, where there's correction giving yep. place. There's a theme usually of, you know, addressing some sin that's going on, yep. or maybe there's a disagreement, or there have been times where people have formed factions and they've been divided.
Mm-hmm.
And he's calling them back to the unity in Christ.
Yes.
So that is really, I believe, like the message that we ought to take away. Yep. And it's like, okay, so how do we walk this out?
Absolutely. And so not, Pastor Zach opened with this whole idea of the Lord exposes the hidden sins of the world. The church should be cautious how exposed she
yes,
is.
Yes.
And that, when he read that first verse, I was like, oh man, we are in for it today. This is like, it's dark, it's heavy, it's like a little overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of thinking about it, listening to the whole message, the question that I kind of came to is like, how are we making ourselves exposed? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And so in the Old Testament, the Lord like hid us from his glory through the veil in the temple, all that mm-hmm. sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't have the ability to be with him. Our sin needed to yeah. be covered. We needed to be separated from him. Now in the New Testament, in living in Christ, mm-hmm. now the blood of Jesus covers that. So yes. we don't have to live exposed. Mm-hmm. Our sin is not exposed. It's covered
it's yeah.
removed from us. Mm-hmm. It's not just like buried or like toss a blanket over mm-hmm. it. It's completely separated. And so that, I don't know, it just gave me such
yeah.
hope. Like we don't have to live in this like fear of, oh gosh, the judgment of the Lord is coming
no.
for the world.
Yes.
And now
yeah.
we have to make sure that mm-hmm. we're being okay. It's like, nope, already done.
Right.
It's covered.
Right.
Jesus covered it. And he removed it from us.
Which... Right. And then I do think that the place for discernment
mm-hmm.
where it is that we have to walk out, you know, as far as, all right, how do I keep myself from the contamination of the world?
I, yes.
I loved how Pastor Zach referenced Jude. It's one of my, mm-hmm. this is like one of my favorite books. And it's a very short book. So if you haven't read a whole book of the Bible and you want to start with something small, go read Jude. Jude talks a lot about these false teachers
yep.
that were coming in and causing division. Mm-hmm. So it's really appropriate. I'll just read a short passage from the first chapter, and it actually is just one chapter, the whole book. But verse 17, he says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time, there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit," meaning the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." Mm-hmm. So yes, it's true, just like you said, under the blood of Jesus, I am free. I am covered.
Yeah.
But then I also have to walk out this ministry mm-hmm. of reconciliation. Yes. And that's dirty stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like that's kind of brings us right into the next thing, this whole divisive spirit, this ultimately towards the end of the message, Pastor Zach calls it, connects it to pride.
Yes.
I feel like especially as we're looking at the New Testament and all those different sects of different mm-hmm. religious beliefs and philosophies and theologies, and even, I mean, continuing into today, we have mm-hmm. plenty of that going on in the church now.
Yeah.
It's that pride of, I have a corner on truth. I have something that you're missing out on. I know something that you don't, or I understand mm-hmm. something better than you do.
Yeah.
And how that causes such division because of that pride. And I think,
I wish he had let out with this, mm-hmm. but it was so cool. Like when I was listening back, he referenced Tuesday night, and I wasn't mm-hmm. able to be here Tuesday night,
yep.
but he's talking about how it was a smaller Tuesday night, and mm-hmm. There were probably about 25 different churches represented,
yes.
and he called everyone down, and they prayed.
Yeah.
And that's a picture, I believe, mm-hmm. of what the Lord is doing right now
yes.
in our area. And I've yep. talked to other people. I talked today to a brother who he's a missionary over in Iraq.
Oh,
and
wow.
and he's involved with like right now just planning some different things with uniting like different churches and,
yep.
and some programs that are gonna be happening in Europe like
yep.
next year.
Yeah.
But you see this wind blowing across the globe of the Spirit of God calling the churches into unity.
Yes.
And that's something that Satan, working out in the spirit of Leviathan that we're mm-hmm. talking about today, he does not want that to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's important that we understand the heart of God is that we would have unity in love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 8, but they're talking about there's these disputes in the church about, you know, meat offered to idols
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And somewhere in that line, in that paragraph, like Paul says, you know, knowledge puffs up, but mm-hmm. love builds up.
Yeah.
And so there's yeah. a difference between banging people over the head with what we know.
Yes.
Versus, okay, I am a child of God
mm-hmm.
and you are a child of God. And now we are growing up together in love,
mm-hmm.
in submission to the Holy Spirit yes. and God's word.
Yep. I love that this message came out and we're able to talk about it kind of in like the early parts of an election year,
mm.
because I feel like as a church, the whole world. Last
yeah.
election, it
oh,
was
yes.
a
yeah.
bloodbath.
Mm-hmm.
There was no grace. There mm-hmm. was no love. It was, I know, you know, you're
yeah.
crazy. I'm
oh,
crazy.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
this,
yeah.
all this stuff. And so I feel like that having the ability to walk with people to like say, hey, you're a person and I'm a person. Not only am I a person, you're a child of God and
yeah.
I'm a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we honor and love each other
right.
through our differences, in spite of our differences, but also celebrating what unites us
mm-hmm.
And finding that place of unity
yeah.
instead of just
yeah.
focusing
right.
on the strife, where we disagree,
right.
how we disagree,
right.
all these sorts of things.
Right, right,
right. So I love that.
And then even those of us who are, you know, that we engage with who are not children of God mm-hmm. yet.
Yes.
It's, okay, how do I cooperate with the Holy Spirit who is at work
mm-hmm.
trying to convict this person
yeah.
and calling them into repentance?
Yep.
And I and just like Jude said, like, hate the sin that contaminates mm-hmm. their lives.
Yep.
But when you're operating with the Holy Spirit, it's you don't get distracted
yeah.
by the noise that the enemy tries to and all the smoke he tries mm-hmm. to blow. It's no, I'm coming in and I'm calling you to something more. God is calling you to something more. And
yeah.
when you come into him, we are united
mm-hmm.
and we're going to clean you up together.
Absolutely. That's so good.
Yeah. So I thought it was cool that you just mentioned the last election, and we're coming mm-hmm. into an election year, because especially the last one and the years leading up to
mm-hmm.
it, no one can look at news reports and say that our country was not divided.
Right.
We yep. were in it was a very strong season of division.
Yes. Yep.
And there were lots of arguments on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, in some ways, I think, like, I don't know if it's getting worse or better, but I know for me personally,
mm-hmm.
I can share from my own yeah. experience, I got caught up in a lot of the arguments with
yeah.
friends, and I saw how destructive
mm-hmm.
This spirit of division
yes.
was.
Yep.
And it's not that my opinions on certain things have changed,
mm-hmm.
But I feel that I've been sensing that the Lord is calling us to more. And it's like, it's not that truth doesn't matter, because truth
right.
does.
Yeah.
And right and wrong does. And there are things that we can debate and that we can mm-hmm. disagree on. But as children of God, we are called to something more.
Yes. I think when we, sometimes we get so caught up in what is true
mm-hmm.
that we forget the deposit that the Holy Spirit has given us of the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So like when we are speaking truth, black and white, we know what's true mm-hmm. is true, what's good is good, but we do it without self-control. We do it without gentleness, without
yeah.
peace, without love. We're honestly, we're giving the enemy a foothold
right.
because we're taking our truth, but we're presenting it in a way that truly glorifies not the Lord, not
right.
the things that the Holy Spirit's called us to.
Mm-hmm.
And so our truth is able to be kind of manipulated
right.
to actually be a tool for the enemy.
Yes.
Rather yeah. than like actually the truth will set you free, like all this sort
right.
of stuff.
Right. Amen. And I'm hearing what Jesus said, like the world will know that you are my disciples
mm-hmm.
if you have love one for another.
Yes. Yep. And I think this kind of brings us into this whole Leviathan. So this mm-hmm. big kind of, I could picture, I don't know, did you ever see the movie Atlantis?
Probably,
like the animated
yeah,
movie,
yeah.
there's like this big mechanical like
oh,
lobster
yeah.
fish
yes,
thing.
Yes, yes.
This is what I think of when we hear Leviathan. I think this big scary
like a sea monster.
Sea
yeah.
monster. And kind of taking it from that image of like a physical thing to this spiritual, this reality of this need for information
mm-hmm.
and how the enemy uses that to cause division.
Yeah.
And we are in the information age, man. We can know mm-hmm. every good, bad, and ugly thing mm-hmm. happening here, there, across the world, and a million people removed from us. We can know it all. We have the internet, we have TV, we have all these things. And this has been kind of something that I've held, it's been important to me.
Yeah.
This
oh,
whole
yeah.
idea yeah. of information, because I.
Well, even your job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of the social media. It's a lot of like, okay, what's trending right now? What are going to get people to view our Instagram posts or our Facebook posts? All this sort of stuff. Not just that, but we're connected to a lot of different people around
right.
the world.
Right.
And so I can see. And then I'm also just like, Facebook friends with a lot of Christians.
Oh, yes.
I went
yeah.
to Bible college.
Yep.
I am in this church. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people here. And so you see the way that people are kind of stewarding or not stewarding this information, and how mm-hmm. the enemy has been able to do incredible things with it. Like, we have this sweet, wonderful woman who is in Scotland, who's connected to
oh,
our church.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't, we wouldn't have this connection to this like dear sister in the Lord without social media. But also I've seen it just like do terrible things and divide people and cause fights and cause ugliness to come out of people. But something that I think from not just our, Will and I used to do youth ministry here. We did youth ministry for like 15 years. This information age that we're in is causing so much fear and anxiety in people. And I think, especially over the past several years, we've seen this like heaviness that people are like carrying around with them because of everything that we know. And so there's that part of the information that I think the enemy loves. But then there's the pride thing. There's the, well, I saw this video. You are a sheep because you don't know the things that I know. And these, all this like edginess.
And it is interesting to see how the enemy uses information in different ways. Like I'm thinking in different contexts. I'm thinking even as you were talking, I was like, wow, like in a communist country, the enemy works by putting governments in position that withhold information. That keep the truth down. But then in our country where we are living in freedom, the enemy capitalizes on that. He's like, okay, I'm just going to bombard you with literally everything.
Like an oversaturation.
Everything. Yeah. And we know like there have been, you can research this where, and most people know by now that the way these apps work is it gets you sucked into like your own echo chamber. Where you go after information that feeds like your interests. And it keeps you in. And then also our brains and our bodies are we react more strongly to negative information than we do to positive information. So it feeds a lot of that.
Something that my graduating class of Bible college, we all had like a class verse as we were graduating. And I, you know, was in Bible college for 4 years, like worked my butt off, did like studying and learning and all this sorts of stuff. And then my class decided for our class verse that it was going to be 1 Corinthians 2:2, which was, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And I will say in the moment, I was like, what are you? We just did four years of Bible school. Like I know things. Like I've been trained. I'm equipped. I'm all these sorts of things. And that's so just immature and, well, and foolish of me. But
Well, but the thing is, it's not to discredit those things. And that's there's this fine line. So maybe you're listening to this, and maybe you're even hearing on Sunday. It's like, oh, so I don't need to know anything. Like so, like knowledge is bad. I shouldn't learn. No, that's not what
that's
we're
not
saying.
The point.
At all. It's just that from what place are we living? What from what reality am I living? Through what lens am I seeing myself and others? And allowing the truth of God to wash over my mind and transform me. And then I go out as a vessel. Not as someone who's building my own kingdom, but the kingdom of God. And I it's cool that you brought up 1 Corinthians, because I was thinking of the chapter before, because we have to ask, like, well, why was Paul saying I've only wanted to know Jesus and him crucified? In the chapter before, he's calling out this church, the church in Corinth, because they had grouped themselves around their favorite teacher. And they're like, well, I like Apollos, so a bunch of people like him. And then a bunch of people are like, well, I follow Paul. I like the way he teaches, and I group myself with him. And that would be like, well, I only follow Jesus. So but you had these groups. They're gathering around the truth. Because we do know, like, Apollos was a good teacher. Paul was used by God to write to write the New Testament, and Jesus is Jesus. But the enemy, even in that, is trying to, like, I'm gonna get you guys not working together. Because I'm trying to sabotage what the Holy Spirit is doing here in Corinth in this city of sin. And because the light had come. And so that's why Paul is calling them back to, like, it's not about the person. It's about Jesus. It's about what he's done in you and now what he wants to do through you.
And I think it's like, this is the truth that we stand on is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're not standing on the truth of our political beliefs, on our conspiracy theories, on mm-hmm. our what we know about other people,
yeah.
which is like can be such a thing. Well, I actually know what they did at their old church, so
right.
whatever. But we're standing on the truth of Jesus and the grace and the love and the righteousness that he calls us to and that he provides for us. Standing on that and not on the information.
Amen. Yeah. And, you know, you brought up, you know, looking at people through the lenses of their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Like one thing I just always hear Pastor Kurt saying this. I've heard other people say it, I hear Pastor Kurt saying is like a prayer that we should pray is, Lord, how do you see this person?
Mm-hmm.
And allowing the Holy Spirit to really show you.
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit is not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit, the heart of God, is for unity through the blood of Jesus.
Yep. I think this idea of knowing things about people, we want to know why, we want to know what.
What?
I think that like need to know can especially be hard for people who are like justice oriented,
mm-hmm.
Who want to know like, but I just need to understand the facts. I need to know, were they justified? Were they not? How does this work?
Am I justified?
Right. Because we, again, it feeds that pride mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
And then people like the whole empathy thing, when we understand someone's motivation, we're able to have compassion for them and we can kind of manipulate that a little, I think, sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Instead of just saying, Lord, you lead the way in this.
Yes.
Let me not make mm-hmm. my own judgment, good or bad.
Right.
How are you going to handle this? How do you see this person?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to know from you?
Right.
And not from gossip or
right.
Googling or right. whatever.
Right.
So I right. think that.
And that's where I think a lot of, you know, Jesus is teaching. And when you see his interactions with people, like that's an excellent model for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the model for us. Because Jesus acted with perfect compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion that, you know, like when you look at that word, it's he was moved, but it moved in a way that caused him to do something.
Yep.
But he also never compromised the truth. So he acted with perfect justice and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always calling out that part of us that wants to jump up a notch.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know, like if you're going to talk about a speck in your brother's eye, like look mm-hmm. at the log in your own first.
Yep.
And Pastor Zach was calling, that was the emphasis of the altar call is, okay, what's in you?
Yeah.
Where is there division in you? Where are mm-hmm. you divided? And, you know, a verse I was thinking about was in Psalms 86, where David says, like, you know, Lord, teach me your way that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. So that should be our cry. It's mm-hmm. like, God, give me an undivided heart.
Yeah.
Show me where I'm conflicted or the enemy is setting up traps that are going to make me look at the wrong thing.
Right. Even within ourselves, I think it's so easy for us, like in our humanity, to look around, to look out and about and say, ooh, I have an issue with them or they did something mm-hmm. wrong to me. And we kind of externalize a lot of our walk. And I think bringing it back to ourselves, asking the Lord, show me my heart. And we don't often, I think, hear a lot about how we can be divided against ourselves.
Mm.
It's not like just this kind of rom-com, like, oh, my heart and my head and all this sort of thing. It's like, no, there's a reality to this of like, what is the truth
mm-hmm.
and what is the Lord calling us to?
Right, right, right.
And having unity in that, in our soul.
Right, right. Well, even that division now, like going back to Pastor Kurt's message mm-hmm. weeks ago, he talked about how we now have the divine nature.
Yes.
So we have a new nature in mm-hmm. Christ. Our spirit is sealed and seated in heavenly places, but we still contend with our flesh.
Yep.
So there is this division where the flesh opposes the new nature mm-hmm. inside of me.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so important that we understand the victory has been won.
Yep.
So you're not to get you know, overwhelmed or allow yourself to stay overwhelmed by this, like, oh, well, how come my flesh wants to do this, but my spirit says this? It's like, okay, yes, exactly. Yep. Lock in to what the spirit is saying and know that through Christ, you will see the victory in your flesh. You speak life to your mortal bodies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's about like that surrender piece of when we have that conflict of something, choosing to allow the Lord to come in and cover and redeem and draw us back into himself and back into that unity in ourselves and in him and in the body of Christ, where we have this perfect unity, which the world doesn't get that. We as Christians, this is like a part of the beauty of being in Christ, is we have this supernatural family of God unity.
Right. It's not just an idea. Right. It's a reality.
Right. It's not just like a wave a banner over us and we call ourselves all united.
Yep.
But we actually have like real, authentic, like spiritual unity, like on such a deep level where even if we have differences of opinions or different thoughts or experiences and stuff like that, we still have unity where those things don't divide us because we're united in Christ.
Right. Right. Amen. Mm. Amen. And the beautiful thing is the Bible is very clear about the stuff that's super important. And so like we submit to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in these other things, it's being sensitive and, you know, asking God for wisdom.
Yep.
Ask God for wisdom. He's gonna show you how to navigate these other areas. This is why you're in a community of believers.
Mm-hmm.
And we submit to those who are older than us. Yes. And we have compassion and patience for those who are struggling and who are finding their way, and we can be a vessel when we have that proper attitude.
Yep.
But when I look down on someone because like, how come you haven't gotten this?
Yeah.
Well, I've just shut off myself as a vessel for the Holy Spirit, who might give me the word that they need today that's going to help unlock their freedom in that area.
Right. Absolutely. And that humility to say like, hey, maybe someone like, I mean, not just maybe, definitely someone else has something to give
me
that I don't know, that I'm lacking. And like, I love how Pastor Zach always says, like, everything that we need as a church, he believes firmly, and I do too, that it's present within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
So we all have something to offer each other, even the way that Ashley opened the service.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Opened like the preaching part after worship of saying like, even when we don't always feel like it, maybe the Lord has something not for you, but from you to serve someone else.
Oh, yeah.
And that, again, like that's that unity. That's that like when we are selfless enough, when we are humble enough to show up, to pour out to the Lord, to be surrendered, to be used by him, then he has his way and he gets the glory.
And I can say from personal experience, the times that I've pressed through that resistance that the enemy stirs up in me of, these thoughts he plants thoughts in your head and you know, puts feelings of like, oh, you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've done so much already.
Yep.
You know, you need, you need to stop.
Right. Don't be legalistic.
Aren't you tired?
Yeah.
You know, like you should just, you know, maybe you can stay home today.
Yeah.
When you push through that, I have seen like, wow, there was a reason why the enemy didn't want me to go there, or he didn't want me to go talk to that person or serve that day.
Yeah.
So push through, live from the spirit in the spirit.
Yep. Surrender to the Lord. I love kind of how Pastor Zach ended the whole thing was this quote, knowing the answer is never worth it, but knowing God always is.
Mm.
And how he sort of was like, hey, the time that you're spending pursuing knowledge, pursuing information, not that it's all bad, but it can be used in a way that's not good.
Right.
All that time and effort that we spend watching the news or like seeking that knowledge that puffs up.
Yes.
If we can take that and like surrender it back to the Lord, offer it back to the Lord, dive into his word and receive true knowledge from him.
Right.
How much different would our church look? How much different would the church look?
Amen.
If we truly like pursued the word of God as much as we pursue that knowledge and that knowing and
Right. And that's the thing. Like when you seek the Lord for wisdom, in his wisdom, he will guide you to the information that you need to know.
Yes.
So it actually might be, oh yeah, I want you to check out this podcast or this social media account. Mm-hmm. Like, look at that. Like, take that. But you're doing it in his wisdom, not in your selfish or fleshly pursuit of knowledge that would puff you up and cause division.
Yep. And give that Leviathan spirit a foothold.
Amen.
But where it truly is surrender to the Lord.
Right. All right. Well, it's been great having you.
Yeah. Thanks so much. This is great.
Pray for us and
absolutely.
And let's go.
All right. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for your word and the truth that we have in you. God, I pray that you would just continue to speak your wisdom and your knowledge into all of our hearts, Lord, as we continue to just seek after you, surrender to you, and allow you to lead us as individuals and us as a church, Lord, that you would have your way, that the spirit of Leviathan would not have a place in our lives, in our hearts and minds, in our church. And that you would just be glorified in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So keep pressing on. Stay with it. Stay in the word. And we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on